Coming up on podcast 1419, General Motors revealed big reservation numbers for the Hummer pickup and the SUV. How many have they got sold? Stick around, I'll tell you. Also on the podcast today, Volkswagen talking about more commercial vehicles to follow up the ID Buzz. Stellantis confirming where they'll make the Fiat 500 EV and 1,000 new electric buses for the UK. Well, good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, wherever you're listening in the world. Welcome to EV News Daily, your trusted source of EV information. It's Tuesday, 29th of March. My name is Martin Lee, and I go through every EV story, so you don't have to. Hey, I'm here to save your time. That's what I'm all about on this podcast, so that you can get on with your life. And I can read hundreds, sometimes over 1,000 different EV links and blogs a day to whittle it down to what I think you need to know. We'll start with this quick report coming out of Germany, Manager magazine, talking about the all-electric Porsche 911 using solid-state batteries. Now, since I started this podcast 4 years ago, I can remember reading headlines about the all-electric Porsche 911 coming one day. This time, the report links it to VW's investment in the solid-state battery firm QuantumScape. VW previously said it sees solid-state tech arriving later in the decade and aiming for 0 to 80% charge in 12 minutes. It could well be that this technology, which is obviously going to be more limited, more expensive at the beginning, would be a good home in the Porsche 911, but we'll move on. General Motors next in the news, confirming they've received a huge number of reservations for the Hummer, both the pickup and the SUV. And I forget about the SUV version, but of course that is coming as well. As they attempt to expedite production to get them into customers' hands, the reservation number is 65,000. And I think that's huge because, of course, you're talking about $100,000 plus trucks and SUVs. 65,000 reservations, according to Duncan Aldred. He's the global vice president of GMC. The number of people converting their reservations into orders to buy the pickup is 95%. Kind of unheard of in the automotive industry. That's very, very high. According to CNBC.com, he is quoted as saying, "Production's actually slightly ahead of plan. And we're putting things in place now to expedite that as well so we can deliver these reservations quicker than we originally thought. We're seeing momentum building." Well, the Hummer EV pickup is on sale right now. New orders won't be fulfilled until 2024 because of the backlog of current reservations. And reservations for the electric Hummers have been largely for the pickup because that's the one that was launched first. But they've started advertising it in March this year. And newer reservations have been evenly split between the SUV and the Hummer pickup. Due to the price of the vehicle, volumes are lower than other trucks. But they say at GM, that vehicle is profitable from day one. And that's the key, right? We want car makers not to be ripping anybody off, but to make a profit, because then they'll do it more. Because companies tend to do that, don't they? To make money. And other companies will see them, and then they'll do it more. So we don't want EVs to be sold for a price which means they're losing money on every vehicle, which we saw that years ago with compliance cars in California, but we don't see it anymore. We know the ID vehicles from day one for Volkswagen were profitable. And it's great to hear the Hummer from day one is profitable. It's what we want, right? The Model S Plaid is next in the news, and it's been seen being tested by General Motors. Obviously, they'll be benchmarking that against other vehicles that they will be making, according to GMAuthority.com website. General Motors likely developing some competition with a new Cadillac product in mind. Maybe the new entry of something like the Cadillac Celestique will be their halo sedan. And they've got some electric crossovers coming as well, the Escalade SUV. But either way, General Motors seen on a testing ground, I gather, in these photos published on Twitter, testing out a Model S Plaid. And why not? I've told you recently on the podcast about the new Lucid Air. And also, what was the other one? Was it the Rivian R1T on eBay being sold for twice as much as they would have been bought for? Which I think is a shame because there's only a handful of them in the wild. But, you know, people are flipping them and making money. I find it a little bit sad. I'd like them to be all owned by people as passionate about electric vehicles as you and I. Maybe they are. Maybe faced with, you know, selling a Lucid for 250 grand that I bought for 150 and paying off my mortgage or something, it would be too big to resist. But yeah, other car makers will want to get hold of every possible EV out there. And they know that early customers of these groundbreaking cars are likely to be the best place to get one from. Now, Tesla, of course, increasing their prices recently, and that means they'll no longer be eligible for the California rebate, the California Clean Vehicle Rebate. Now, it hasn't been eligible for the federal tax credit for many years now because they got to their 200,000 limit and then it tapered down. That didn't affect sales at the time. In fact, Tesla went to the moon, you could say, because price-wise, company-wise, everything has been going hugely for Tesla without the federal tax credit. Now, latest round of price increases, according to a Cars Direct report, says that they have no models on sale eligible for California's clean vehicle rebate, which is $2,000 to customers. The threshold for cars is 45 grand, and the threshold for SUVs is 60 grand. Well, you can't get a Model 3 for 45 grand, and you can't get an SUV for 60 grand, because the Model 3 now starts at 48, and the Model Y starts at 64. And you can't get them till next year anyway. Do you think any California buyers will really not buy a Tesla because of that $2,000 rebate they now won't be getting? I don't think so. There's no one possibly buying thinking, oh, if only I had the $2,000 rebate, I'm not going to buy one now. Of course, they're still going to buy one. When they've got their heart set on that vehicle, they will do what is known as the Tesla stretch. Next, we'll talk about Stellantis confirming the new Fiat 500 EV production will remain in Italy. The successor to the Fiat 500 will be built in Italy, the Mia Fiori factory in Turin, Stellantis confirming. In addition, the factory, which is the group's oldest in Italy, it goes back to 1939, gets two new Maserati models. That is confirmed by the Stellantis chairman, John Elkann, and the CEO, Carlos Tavares, saying in a meeting with local officials yesterday on Monday and reported by Automotive News Europe. They say the new Fiat 500 EV, launched late 2020, was the seventh best-selling full electric car in Europe in 2021, had 44,000 sales last year, and supplier sources telling Automotive News Europe that Stellantis will build 90,000 new 500 EVs every single year, with production increasing to 120,000 from after next year, requiring a third shift to make them. And I can see why. That Fiat 500 EV looks the same as the Fiat 500 combustion version, but it's entirely different. Although the body on the outside, because they want both cars to look like the same car, underneath, it's completely designed differently. It's meant to be an electric vehicle, and boy, oh boy, is it a good one. Yes, it's a small one, and some of my US listeners may not quite understand why we get so excited about small city cars, but look, I also think that there is a bit of a reputation that, you know, every American is out there driving around massive pickup trucks. If you live in a, you know, in a built-up urban area in the US, I'm surprised that you don't have more cars like this. I know that your travel distances are longer, but yeah, over here, everything's a bit smaller, closely packed together in Europe, and these cars do sell really, really well. You know, I think that's a great second car. My wife loves the Fiat 500e, and if we had something like a VW ID. Buzz, just saying. I don't need a Mercedes-Benz EQV. That's too big. I'm just saying. I mean, I floated it. I floated the idea with her. She's like, I love that ID. Buzz. Can we get one of those? I'm like, yeah, 60 grand. Yeah. Like one of those for family duties, you know, school run, et cetera, et cetera. Well, nursery run for us. And then have a little Fiat 500 EV for, you know, for her running around because, you know, she doesn't like huge cars. She likes to park in parking spaces and, you know, our spaces are smaller. That would be, I think, one of the great two-car driveways if we had the money that we would have. Now, talking to the ID. Buzz, VW Commercial Vehicles is aiming for a share of battery electric vehicles of more than 55% by the end of the decade in Europe. Not only the currently announced model series like the ID. Buzz and the e-Crafter, but with new models with electric drive. Final preparations are underway at the Hanover plant for series production of the ID. Buzz. That's 5,000 employees there being qualified to construct the ID. Buzz, writes electrive.com. At the same time, the first conversion measures for fully electric premium vehicles of the Audi and Bentley brands have begun. The new production hall is being built in the heart of the factory in Hanover. They say Lars Kraus, who is board member for VW Commercial, says, we will start series production of the ID. Buzz Cargo. That's the five-seater. That is the commercial version of the five-seater van. The five-seater version follows at the end of May. So they're going to start with the ID. Buzz Cargo. So the ID. Buzz Cargo is going to start the series production. Then at the end of May, So what's that? Well, we're at the end of March, so 2 months away. Then 2 months away, they'll start series production of the ID Buzz 5-seater. Now, the US market is only getting the 7-seater, but you know you've got to wait for that anyway. Production of up to 15,000 units is planned for this year. So if you want to get your hands on an ID Buzz, an ID Buzz Cargo, you'll be one of 15,000 very, very lucky people. Production capacity installed will be 60,000 in 2023. Beyond the ID Buzz, the electric version of the Crafter delivery van, the Amarok pickup, is being continued with Ford. And the model to be presented in the summer of this year. We'll find out more about the next commercial vehicle from VW as well. The electric camper, the ID California, scheduled in for 2025. Right, coming up on the podcast very soon, we'll talk about scooters, as in mopeds, and loads and loads of new electric buses for the UK. Stick around. Now, though, we'll go to India and Tata Motors. Tata Motors, India's top-selling electric car maker. And OK, if you were to say to me, India's only electric car maker, well, you wouldn't be far wrong. They've got pretty much all of the market. Tata said the cost of battery cells had gone up 20% because of the global surge in raw material prices, mainly lithium, putting pressure on the company. Shailesh Chandra is the managing director of the passenger vehicles and telling Reuters cell prices have been rising over the months and he expects them to remain high for about 1 year. According to Reuters, automakers globally are facing inflationary pressures because of surging costs of nickel, cobalt and lithium that are used making EV batteries, the most expensive part of any EV, of course. Well, Tata has over 90% share of India's EV car market. Like I say, it pretty much is Tata in India. Expect sales of electric cars to grow this year from 4,200 units last year. They could get to 16,000. Look, a country as big as India to be talking about selling 16,000 EVs, it's such a drop in the ocean, isn't it? But in many parts of India, when you look at things like average wages and et cetera, vehicle ownership, what would be better would be to get those mopeds, those small vehicles that have generally dirty engines because they're unrestricted in terms of efficiency. They haven't got to meet the latest efficiency goals. Pretty horrible little engines. It would be great to get those going electric as soon as possible, wouldn't it? Talking of that, let's talk scooters. Well, mopeds, you might want to call them, but I guess they're technically an electric scooter. But don't think about, you know, the stand-up ride-on scooter. Well, I'm talking about a small motorbike here, a moped. NIU, have the MQi range, and now they're launching the MQi GT Evo, and it's now hitting the road in Europe, one of the main overseas markets. According to the company, other international markets like North America and Israel are getting the new Evo scooter in the next few weeks, writes Mike Atoll for Electrek. The MQi GT Evo looks like the previous models, but there's loads of new features. Does 62 miles an hour, which is 100 kilometres. It's got a new motor, 5 kilowatts or 6.7 horsepower, with a peak of 6.5 kilowatts. It's basically the equivalent of a 125. It's basically 125cc moped equivalent. Wow. The fourth generation batteries are now a 72 volt system. It's got two 26 amp hour packs under the seat, and so that's 3.7 kilowatt hours, and that'll do you 47 miles or 75 kilometres of range. So even if your commute is 20 miles away, you know, or 30 odd kilometres, and you're not riding it like a hoon, then you can probably do that on a scooter. I mean, a 40 mile round trip on a moped, all power to you, by the way, if you're doing that. But pricing, 5,000 euros in Europe, 5,500 US dollars equivalents. Right, moving on. And there is some big news about the UK's largest free electric charging network. That is the Tesco network. Well, it's not Tesco's. They're in Tesco car parks, our supermarkets. But it's operated by Podpoint in conjunction with Volkswagen, the sponsors. Launched in 2019, 41 million miles of free electric driving, they say they've given out. I guess you have to average that over all EVs on the market and the average efficiency of every EV to work out the mileage. That's not an exact science, by the way. The 500th location opening up, it was the Inverness, Scotland Tesco to boost the local infrastructure. I love those Tesco posts. They are often, the configuration I often see in a Tesco car park is two sevens, and that is the big video screen. And it's odd because the big one is the slow one. That'll have 2 7-kilowatt sockets on. Then behind it or next to it, I often see a 22-kilowatt post. And the PodPoint posts are, like I say, they're smaller. You think that the smaller one wouldn't be the fast one, but it's 22 kilowatts, which for our Renault Zoe is great because, you know, you go into Tesco's for an hour and the Zoe battery is more than half full. Although, the Zoe is particularly sensitive to the ground or grounding. I think that's what it is. And so sometimes some Tesco's and some pod points, I'll plug it into the 22. It'll work for a bit. And then everything goes red, dashboard goes red, red lights flashing at the front of the car, and it just flips out. When it doesn't, it's great. But the Zoe and the pod points, they're not the best of friends, if I'm honest with you. So I just often stick it on the 7. I know it's not going to crash. And they also got, increasingly, I've seen 50 kilowatt rapid chargers as well, with one CHAdeMO and one CCS connector. But you do have to pay for those, but you can just tap your bank card. And I think you can anyway, at least they're PodPoint. And the PodPoint app is really easy, but still. Right, staying in the UK, 1,000 new electric buses are rolling out in the UK. This is great. You know, I always talk about electric buses on this podcast, and it's like, there's 5 of them going here and 10 of them going there. And that's all well and good until you look at some cities in China that are like, well, they just ordered 10,000 of them for one city or town in China. Well, this is a better story. The UK is rolling out 1,000 electric buses with government backing. The Zebra scheme will add 170 new pure electric buses to Greater Manchester, 160 of them to Oxfordshire, 115 to Blackpool, 111 electric buses to West Yorkshire, 78 of them to Nottingham, 44 to York, and it goes down and down and down. Fantastic news. Right, question of the week with emobilitynorway.com. I'll read out your answers on Sunday, and it's a bit of a long one, actually, this week, so bear with me on this. I found a story in the Daily Mirror newspaper, and they say an electric car owner is warning other EV drivers that they will be fined if they park in Lidl's car park for more than 90 minutes. Lidl is a supermarket, by the way. Max Wilkinson, a Cheltenham councillor, bought a hybrid Mini Countryman, plugged it into the charger and went home. 2 hours later, he came back and he says the Mini was half charged. A week later, Max received a £90 fine for overstaying the 90 minutes in Lidl's car park. He paid the fine, doesn't dispute it, says he saw the signs, but he says this: it seems illogical that quite a lot of EV and hybrid owners are not allowed to spend enough time in a car park to get a full charge. That was the quote. So, who is in the wrong here? I want to know from you. Is it the supermarket chain? Lidl, are they in the wrong? Should they allow 3 or 4 hours of time in their car park? Now, my local Lidl is next to the train station. So, you start allowing 3, 4, 5 hours and people can park for free in their car park, jump on the train, go do a trip to IKEA or something, they'd have to limit it because otherwise people are going to use and abuse that system. Is it the car maker's fault for having truly terrible charging? Because although that owner says that he returned after 2 hours and it was half full, I don't see how that can be true, because in the little car parks, they are pod points as well, and they use ABB hardware, and they nearly always, and I've not been to the Cheltenham one, but nearly always have CCS CHAdeMO and a tethered 22 AC, and often you can dual charge. If someone's on the 22 kilowatt AC cable, you can also use a DC CHAdeMO or a DC CCS, which is great. Love it, love it, love it. But that Mini hybrid that he bought, the Countryman, that's got a 6 and a bit kilowatt hour battery and it charges at 3 kilowatts. So after 2 hours, it would have been full. Anyway, is he in the wrong for sticking it on a rapid charger and going home for 2 hours? What are you doing? Somebody could have turned up desperate for a charge and they couldn't charge, because you're putting your hybrid car on a rapid charger and bogging off for 2 hours. What are you thinking, man? Is it his fault? Is it the dealer's fault for not explaining this is how you use infrastructure? Is it a 7 kilowatt post at a hotel? Fill your boots, my friend. Stick it on all night. Go to beds. Enjoy your sleep in that hotel. Is it a 22? Is it a 50 kilowatt DC fast charger? We haven't got many of them. Don't hog them. Leave at 80%. Is it the dealer's fault for not telling this person how to be a considerate part of the community and looking out for his other EV compatriots and drivers? I want to know from you, who is at fault in this case? Email me, hello at evnewsdaily.com. Thank you so much to every premium partner of the podcast. And we've got a new one to add from the 1st of April. Whoop, whoop. I'm fist pumping the air, but you couldn't see that because this is a podcast. Phil Roberts of Electric Future, Brad Crosby, Porsche of the Village in Cincinnati, Audi of Cincinnati East, Volvo Cars of Cincinnati East, National Car Charging on the US mainland and Aloha Charge in Hawaii, Derek Riley from the EV Review Ireland YouTube channel, Richard at rsev.co.uk for buying and selling EVs in the UK, and emobilitynorway.com. And another name to add from the 1st of April. Have a good and see you tomorrow. And remember, there is no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.